Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is our Senate chaplain, and this is his last day here, so I'm going to introduce him two ways. The Hebrew way, the Reverend Dennis Morim, and the way he always tells me to introduce him, the Reverend Dennis Morum.
I thank you for that. Thank you much. And yes, this is my last day of this session. I hope and plan to be back with you next January, God willing. My prayers for you are for this summer, for each of you individually. I will keep remembering you, that you have safe travels, good health, and a refreshment of energy and strength. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, the source of life and the source of love, your love is everlasting and has no limits, and we thank you for that. We thank you for this day, for the warmth of your sunshine, the freshness of the air, and for the colors of spring. Lord, as these last days of this session come to a close, I pray for your continued guidance and strength upon these senators as they work together in accomplishing that which they want to see accomplished before session ends. Thank you for all that they have done, for the many hours of dedication that they have had in this room, in committee meetings and offices. Continue to give unto them your strength, your wisdom, your patience, your insight, so that the greatest good for the people of this state may be theirs. I pray also for these senators in the months ahead, until session begins again, that it be a time of renewal for them, renewal with their families, a time of listening to the concerns of their constituents, a time to be refreshed mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and a time to get back into the routine of their regular jobs and responsibilities. Thank you again for the dedication of these senators and their willingness to serve in a position that can be both very rewarding and at times very frustrating. For those who will be traveling many miles and meeting many people over these next months, protect them as they travel and give them strength and energy for the challenges that they face. Eternal One, there are so many people in the world to pray for, and we pray for only a few, for the coal miners and their families in Soma, Turkey. We pray for over the 200 young girls and their families in Nigeria, and we pray that those girls can be brought back safely to their families. We pray for the countries of Ukraine, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, as well as those areas of the world that we don't read about or hear about, but you are well aware of the suffering that takes place. In our own country, we pray as these warm months approach. We pray for all of those thousands of firefighters that will be working to control the fires that destroy homes and vegetation. We pray that you would protect them so that there would not be another huge loss of life as there was last summer in Arizona. All of these concerns and more we bring to you, asking for your marvelous and miraculous and often unseen presence to be at work. Again, we say thank you for all of your many blessings. In the midst of daily news, which we hear that is not always good, may we always still see that which is good and give thanks to you for that always. Amen.
That was beautiful. It's your best prayer ever.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a really good trip.
See you next January.
Okay, next January.
January, what, 6th or 10th?
I'm not sure. He'll take the
wheel. Cool.
It's usually the first Tuesday after the first Monday. Hold on a second. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fischbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebretson, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J., Peterson B., Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rood, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
Quorum is present. We go to the eighth order of business. Pursuant to Rule 12.5, Senator Cohen moved that the following members be excused for a conference committee on House File 3172 at 10 a.m. Senators Cohen, Tomasoni, Lori, Uyghur, and Bonoff. Eighth order of business. Thank you. On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills listed on today's introduction calendar are given their first reading. Referred as indicated. Motions and resolutions. The Secretary will read the motion.
Senators Bach and Han introduce Senate Resolution Number 265, a Senate resolution relating to conduct of Senate business during the interim between sessions. And Senators Bach and Han introduce Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 9, a Senate concurrent resolution relating to the delivery of bills to the governor after final adjournment.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, members, the Senate Resolution Number 265 is a standard resolution we pass at the end of session that just lays out the terms of how the Senate is going to function between now and when we reconvene next January. Just standard resolution. I move adoption Senate Resolution Number 265.
Madam President.
Senator Han.
Thank you. I'd like to offer an amendment to this resolution, which is the A2 amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Han moves to amend Senate Resolution Number 265 as follows, page 3, line 16, and this is the A2 amendment.
Senator Han.
Thank you, Madam President and members. This is a resolution that has to do with credentialing of members to the press contingent of the Senate Press Corps. And we did have a discussion about this in the Rules Committee last night in an effort to see if we could modify or do a resolution in the Rules Committee with respect to credentialing and perhaps removing credentials from a person who had been credentialed that was improperly or has become in violation of Senate rules. So what this resolution does is try to clarify that and just put into the resolution that any credentials issued under Senate Rule 16 who has received funds from a political organization as defined in Rule 16.1 are suspended. So part of the discussion we had in Rules Committee last night was that there wasn't really a process by which credentials could be removed, and that the intent of this resolution is to speak to that and allow for that action to take place.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, the Rules Committee did have a conversation about the press credentials yesterday, and the current credentials that the press is operating under were adopted in the last biennium under the old rules of the Senate, I believe on December 5th, 2012, before the new rules were adopted, before the majority switched. And we did have a good conversation in rules. The rules are not clear. It talks about how press credentials are issued, but it does not have a provision in it that allows for how credentials might be removed from somebody who receives them. So I do think it's an issue that the Rules Committee needs to discuss. I think we need to be very careful we don't get ourselves on in a legal situation where somebody feels they haven't been treated fairly. So, Madam President, I move that the A2 amendment be referred to the Rules Committee.
On the motion to re-refer the amendment to the Rules Committee, discussion. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before, or for the purposes of Senate Resolution 265 and any amendments, I wish to impose a call of the Senate.
Senate is under call. Senator Limmer.
Madam President, I move a further proceedings under roll call be dispensed with. Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Sergeant shall bring in the absent members. Senator Newman.
Madam President, at the Rules Committee yesterday afternoon, Senator Bach is correct. We did discuss this issue at some length. And one of the questions that I had was where the jurisdiction lie in removing credentials. The Rule 16.1 Subdivision A indicates how credentials are to be issued, but the rule seems to be silent on what happens if we are going to remove those credentials. And it became pretty clear in the conversation that, and this was in consultation with Senate counsel, that the rule is unclear and there was no way for the Rules Committee to address the issue. So the question I then put, well, who does have jurisdiction over this? And Senate counsel told us that the body of the Senate does. Now, the motion is to refer this to rules wherein the Rules Committee is now going to consider what we were discussing yesterday when they told us we didn't have the jurisdiction to do anything. So I'm really questioning why are we going back to rules if the correct body to that has jurisdiction to address this issue is the Senate body. And I think the body as a Senate, clearly according to Senate counsel, has jurisdiction to determine this issue, and it is the Senate body that should, at this point, take this matter up. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam President. And members, I think that there is a problem with the rule that we have. I think that we talked about it in Rules Committee last night, and I think that is correct, that the rules talk about the credentialing process, but they don't really speak to what happens if there is a need to uncredential a member of the Senate press corps. And so we're trying to address that with this resolution. But I think there is an issue for the Senate as a whole, which is why I would urge that we adopt this amendment to the resolution that we have in front of us. When you have a member of the press corps who is also being paid by a political committee, I think that is a problem. And I don't think that we ought to allow that to continue without at least expressing in a clear way that we think that's impermissible. Our rule says that you cannot be credentialed if you have that relationship. And at the time, this individual was credentialed, as far as I understand it. He was not receiving payment from a political committee or being a part of that committee. But subsequently, that did happen. And so I think that this is an opportunity for us as a Senate to make it clear that we do not believe it is proper for a member of the Senate press corps to also be paid by a political organization. And that's what this resolution is about, and I would urge your support.
Senator Hall? Oh, I thought you raised your hand. Sorry. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. A question of parliamentary procedure. Have we ever referred an amendment to the Rules Committee. I don't recall that. I don't know if that's an appropriate motion to do. Could you give us some guidance on that?
Senator Limmer, on your point of order from 32, a bill or resolution may be referred to committee at any time before its passage. If an amendment is reported on the referral to any committee, well, that's not relevant. So a bill or resolution may be referred to committee at any time before its passage. Then I have to go to Mason's. Reference of a measure to committee when amendments are pending carries the amendments to the committee with it. A motion to refer amendments to committee is not technically in order, but would be attached to the main question. So the amendment to refer, the motion to refer the A2 amendment will take the underlying resolution with it. And it'll be sent back to the Rules Committee.
Madam President.
Senator Limmer.
So, Madam President, the order of our business now is the consideration of Senator Bach's motion, although we have not decided on the amendment yet. So if we make a recommendation to move this matter to the Rules Committee and we have not addressed the amendment not necessarily would go to the Rules Committee. Is that correct?
Senator Limmer, I believe what I said is that if the motion to send the A2 amendment to the Rules Committee, it would take Senate Resolution 265 with it to the Rules Committee.
So, Madam President, is it appropriate to debate the merit of the amendment at this time?
It's appropriate to debate the merit of the amendment, yes.
All right.
It's appropriate to debate the motion to refer it to the Rules Committee. That's what's before us. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I'll withdraw my motion to refer.
The motion to refer has been withdrawn. So what we have before us now is the A2 amendment. So it's appropriate to debate the A2 amendment.
Madam President, we've kind of gotten a little sidetracked due to the motion for the procedural motion. But Senator Hahn, his amendment, the A2 amendment, I would like to discuss a little bit. I see that he's making reference to In the event that there is an individual who has been credentialed by the Senate body, in this particular case, I think he's referring to an individual that has press credentials that have been recognized, whether or not that individual, if they're being paid by a political organization, we certainly can determine that there may be a conflict of interest, or perhaps we certainly don't recognize any other individual credentialed for press credentials that are being paid by any political organization. There seems to be reference in a variety of public documents that there is an individual who's being paid by a political organization.
Madam President, point of order.
Senator Ladd, state your point.
Madam President, I challenge the germaneness of the amendment under Rule 35.
Advice?
Madam President, the amendment has to do with credentialing, and as far as I can tell, there is nothing in the underlying resolution that's proposed that has anything to do with credentialing.
Senator Limmer, any advice?
Madam President, I'm reviewing the resolution right now to determine if there's an argument.
Senator Hamm.
Advice, and Madam President, the resolution we have before us has to do with the interim business of the Senate, and the amendment that I've offered is certainly has to do with the business of the Senate that would be undertaken in the interim. So even though there are different subjects addressed in the main resolution as opposed to the one that I've offered as an amendment, they are about the same thing. They're with the business of the Senate in the interim.
Madam President.
Senator Ortman.
Advice on the germaneness motion. The resolution before us does talk about compensation and setting benefits for employees. Resolution number 265, lines 1.17 talks about appointments, vacancies, commissions, rules, statute, and resolution, and talks about compensation. Under 1.22, 2.3, and 2.4 for carrying out the work of the Senate, I think this is fully germane because we're talking about who should or should not be allowed compensation because of a potential conflict of interest. We have a question about someone who did receive compensation. So it is fully germane to the resolution before the body.
Madam President, advice?
Senator Lance.
Madam President, the underlying resolution makes no changes to the rules of the Senate. It addresses interim business of the Senate only, not general business of the Senate. And the issue of credentialing has basically to do with floor access, and there will be no floor sessions of the Senate during the interim. So, again, it's not relevant to the business of the Senate during the interim.
Madam President.
Senator Hahn.
Advice. The amendment that I've offered does not change the rules of the Senate. I think in the underlying resolution on line 2.3 talks about the Secretary of the Senate shall continue to perform her duties during the interim. This is just a clarification of those duties since the rules are silent apparently about this. So this is not an addition to the rules. It is a clarification.
Madam President, advice.
Senator Nienhow.
Madam President, on page 3, there's language regarding the use of the Senate chamber. Credentialing is about the use and access to the Senate chamber. This amendment isn't germane.
Madam President.
Senator Peterson.
I would offer the same advice in terms of the germaneness of this ruling. Press credentials will have to be renewed and reissued before the next session during the interim. And again, this resolution is addressing some of those issues that come up during the interim. And clearly, this issue would need to be addressed if there's going to be changes in terms of the press credentials that are issued.
Madam President, advice?
Senator Lautz.
Madam President, despite Senator Hand's contention, in effect, the proposed amendment is to change the rule. It puts more detail into the content of the of Rule 16, which deals with credentials for press. So whether it explicitly and formally proposes to amend the rule or not, the actual effect of it is to amend the rule.
Senator Ortman, more advice?
Madam President, the fact that it might amend the rule doesn't make it not germane. In fact, it establishes that it is germane. Now, maybe there are some in this chamber that don't want to change the rules, but that is the test of germaneness. If it fits within the subject area of the underlying resolution, then the amendment is germane, and it should be considered. Madam President, this is a test of integrity of this body. If we have rules, we should apply them.
Madam President.
Senator Lautz.
I'm not sure that every time we have a discussion here about rules turns it into a question, or a decision by the President turns it into a question of the integrity of this body. So I don't think we need to go in that direction. But, Madam President, there's absolutely nothing in Resolution 265 that deals with press credentials. And that's sort of the core question here we'd submit.
Senator Gazelka.
Madam President, advice. When we met in the Rules Committee, we were looking for how do we solve this? How do we have a resolution? And we were instructed that the place to do that was on the Senate floor. We have an amendment in my mind that clearly fits and is germane about how we handle rules of the Senate. These are some of those things that they're instructed to do. They talk about a variety of things related to what we're supposed to do. We're looking for a place to find resolution to be able to talk to that, Madam President. I really believe this is germane, also in light of what we were instructed on the Rules Committee to do yesterday.
Having listened to the advice from both sides, I rule that the amendment is not germane.
Madam President.
Now we have Madam before President. Us.
Madam President.
Senator Hand.
I appeal the ruling of the chair, and I would like to ask for a roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. The question before the body is, shall the decision of the President be the judgment of the Senate? A yes vote means that I'm sustained. Yes vote means that the decision of the President is sustained. Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 32 ayes and 25 nays, the decision of the president is sustained.
Madam President, point of personal privilege.
Senator Peterson.
Members, in light of the failure of this motion, I just thought I should take a moment to share this situation has absolutely happened before. Dan Oxner, who was a former member of the Minnesota Associated Press Broadcasters, who is a constituent of mine and serves my constituents in central Minnesota, was denied his press credentials back in 2011 in the 11 and 12 session. And I just couldn't happen but notice over half the members of the majority do not have their computer, did not ask for a hard copy of the amendment, Madam President. And it's clearly an example. This issue has clearly gone in a partisan manner. And I would encourage senators to take it in the other direction when they have a chance to do so in the future.
More discussion. Senator Latz.
Madam President, will Senator Peterson yield for a question?
He will yield. Senator Latz.
Senator Peterson, was the person you're talking about, Mr. Oxner, had he ever been a candidate for a partisan office in the state of Minnesota?
Senator Peterson.
Yes, Madam President, he had lost the previous November, but Senator Latz, he had never been paid or compensated.
Okay, we have before us the underlying Senate Resolution number 265. Is there any discussion on the resolution? Senator Hahn. Okay. All right. On the Senate Resolution 265, the Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 49 ayes and 7 nays, the resolution is adopted. Secretary will read the next resolution.
Senators Bach and Hahn introduce Senate Concurrent Resolution number 9, a Senate Concurrent Resolution relating to the delivery of bills to the governor after final adjournment.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move Senate Concurrent Resolution number 9 be adopted. Members, this is the resolution that provides for the delivery of bills to the governor after we adjourn sine die.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The resolution is adopted. Remaining under motion, Senator Hayden.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that number 6 on general orders be stricken and returned to the author.
That is your bill?
That is my bill.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Hayden.
Good. Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate File 2378, number 21 on general orders, be stricken and returned to the author. It is my bill.
This is your bill. All right. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, members, the floor activity today is going to be, let me describe it as fluid. The budget bill, the tax bill, and the bonding bill are all House files, and we can't take action on them until the House sends them over. So, but I would like to take a recess. We've got, I believe, six conference committee reports on our desk that we could deal with today, and there are two additional special orders. So the intent would be to recess for the caucuses to consider the business that we do have on our desks, the conference committee reports, and the two special orders, and then we would recess upon that and wait for further action from the House to be sent to us. So, Madam President, I move a recess of the Senate for approximately 1 hour. And the majority caucus will caucus in room 107 immediately.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President. And members, our caucus will caucus over in the SOB, and right after we recess, let's head over there.
On the motion to recess, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.
Madam President, I move further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with, and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Sergeant will bring in the absent members. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bills. We made special orders for immediate consideration. And members, the list is on your desk.
The first bill on special orders is number 30 on general orders, House File 2989, Senator Coonan.
Thank you, Madam President. Is this the time to make my motion, Madam President?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I move that the amendment made to House File 2989 by the Committee on Rules Administration in the report adopted May 14th, 2014, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken.
Would you explain what you're doing, Senator Coonan?
Thank you, Madam President. The House bill and the Senate bill have identical language, except that the House bill deleted Section 2. And what happened there was that Section 2 was originally proposed as a way to make the filing of tax liens more efficient and to save money that would otherwise be expanded in programming to implement a relatively little used provision in tax lien law. However, as discussions progressed, it has become apparent that this change would in fact be more expensive than not making a change, and therefore it is more efficient to leave the law as it is, and this is agreement between the Secretary of State's office and the Department of Revenue. So again, Madam President and members, the bills are identical except the House bill deleted Section 2.
And on the motion to strike Rule 45, is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Coonan, any more on the House bill, House File 2989?
I'll just give a quick explanation of the bill here. This is the Secretary of State's 2014 Business Service Bill. And as you may know, the Secretary of State is the respiratory of uniform commercial code liens, central notification system liens, business and non-profit corporation filings, and other similar records. This bill corrects defects in certain business law and eliminates a redundant filing and updates the provision of the law on central notification of farm liens to accommodate modern technology and resolve issues created by electronic communications. And so it eliminates the filing of a certificate of liquidation of a financial institution with the Office of Secretary of State, and that's because that certificate is on file with the Department of Congress, Commerce, which regulates banking in Minnesota and provides a process. The bill also provides a process for the reinstatement of limited partnerships who failed to name a replacement registrant agent when the previous agent resigned. This is not possible under current law for limited partnerships, but is allowed for other entities. And so what this does is just make the law the same for limited partnerships as other Minnesota business entities. And it updates the general partnership law passed in the 1990s to conform with change in limited partnership law made several years ago. It also deals with changes in the central notification system established pursuant to the Federal Food and Security Act to allow increased use of computing in certain functions. So in other words, these lists will be available in electronic form. And then finally, at the end of the bill there, Section 8 repeals two sections. And then the effective date on Sections 5 through 8, with the CNS system changes, must be approved by the federal government, and so the effective date is delayed until that approval is given. And that's the bill, Madam President.
Is there any discussion on House Bill 2989? Seeing none, the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File Number 2989, a bill for an act relating to business organizations, regulating certain filings, recordings, and registrations with the Secretary of State.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, Secretary will close the roll. There being 55 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and is title agreed to. Let's keep the noise down. The next bill on special orders is number 49 on general orders, House File 1226, Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Many of you know that under current law, peace officers and some other people that work in corrections are protected with enhanced penalties if there is a death or an assault that comes to them during the course of their official duties. What this bill does is it would add to that category judges, and prosecutors. Now, in its current form that is in front of you, members, we also have added the Commissioner of Corrections, and that was at the request of a member of the Judiciary Committee. Since that time, the Commissioner of Corrections has actually asked to be removed from the bill. And so, Madam President, if this is the right timing to get the bill in the form we're ultimately hopefully going to pass it, I'd like to offer the A1 amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Thompson moves to amend House File Number 1226 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 adopted by the Senate May 13, 2014 as follows, page 1, and this is the A1 amendment.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam President. And as you can see, members, this amendment would simply remove the Commissioner of Corrections from protection under this bill as was requested by the Commissioner. So all that this bill will end up doing, Madam President and members, is including prosecutors and judges under the protection that is now given to peace officers and some other people in the corrections business. And I want to thank Senator Latz, who is a co-author on the bill. And at this point, Madam President, I am unaware of any opposition to the bill. I would respectfully ask for the members' vote and be happy to take any questions.
Is there any discussion on the A1 amendment? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. On the bill, House File 1226, Senator Thompson. Any more?
Madam President, I have nothing further to add. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Secretary will give House File 1226 its third reading.
House File Number 1226, a bill for an act relating to public safety, providing enhanced penalties for causing the death of or assaulting a prosecuting attorney.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 55 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, messages from the House. The Secretary will report the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file herewith returned. Senate file number 2887, a bill for an act relating to transportation, motor vehicles, eliminating barriers to the purchase of electric and plug-in hybrid electric vehicles by state agencies. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on House File Number 183 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File Number 183, a bill for an act relating to data practices, enhancing certain penalties and procedures related to unauthorized access to data by a public employee. House File Number 183 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and Conference Committee report on House File Number 183 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee.
Senator Dibble, you can explain the conference committee report.
Thank you, Madam President. House File 183 was the companion to my Senate File 211. I first want to thank Senator Limmer and Senator Sharon for participating in the conference committee. It went a little longer, and we had more meetings than anticipated, but we had some excellent, very thorough discussion with the stakeholders and representatives, particularly of state departments and local units of government. Madam President, members, this has to do with those instances where data has been breached, public data has been breached by public employees, an issue of quite a bit of concern on the part of the public as well as the legislature. And so what it does in kind of summary is to respond to some of the recommendations of the legislative auditor around these issues to address some of the policy deficiencies that have given rise to some of these circumstances, in particular making sure that we have strong definitions of when there is a breach of data security and what unauthorized acquisition exactly is, making sure that there are good processes and procedures for accountability and training in place, and some accountability measures for when those instances occur. The changes between the Senate version that went out and the conference committee report that comes back are very quickly. The matter dealt with in Section 1, in which folks can access data, names of individuals who've acquired their information at any time for any purpose, was not picked up in the report, not after many different versions and attempts were made to kind of get at that issue through different ways, but we just couldn't find a way that worked really well. So we did commit to continuing to work on that, perhaps under the auspices and with the work of the new Legislative Commission on data security that's been established, to bring back some recommendations to the legislature in the coming year. Moving on, section that deals with making sure that procedures are in place and policies are in place and training and the like, those were the same, and so we adopted those provisions. We adopted the provisions that deal with notification and investigation report required, with some small changes to the first part around accessing data and where that best belongs in terms of the definitions of breach and unauthorized access. Probably the most substantive work was done in developing a report that informs individuals when their data has been breached and what exactly that report needs to contain. That's a new and fairly significant policy that's been established, and we set forth, if you're following along on page 2 over to page 3 of the conference committee report, the circumstances and timing of that report, making sure, of course, that all personnel matters are dealt with under existing due process provisions. But at the end of the day, if in fact a data breach has occurred and discipline results, exactly what occurred in what numbers and in what ways and who's responsible, we make sure that we provide for protections for the Safe at Home program so that we're not releasing data that might put people at some risk. It's worthwhile my noting that all units of government are going to fall under these responsibilities now, not just state agencies. We did provide assurance, just some comfort language, that nothing in this section, nothing in this new proposal would restrict access to public data by the legislative auditor or the state auditor. The penalties, the accountability measures that we sent out from the Senate were similar in the House, and we adopted the Senate provisions for that. And then we picked up some House language on the CBRS database just to make it clear that those units of government that are submitting data to the CBRS database and the general description of the types of data that they submit are public data. Just the name of the agencies that are submitting to the CBRS database and the nature of the data that they're putting in. I will stand for questions, Madam President.
Are there any questions? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the author yield?
He will yield. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Dibble, I see that in the conference report that was the final investigation report on government entities' website was deleted by the conferees, and I'm wondering how the public will know now what has happened regarding that situation.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Yes, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. I had that in my side-by-side notes here that we dropped the website notification. Madam President, members, the report that's prepared, would be a public document. We don't make any real specific provisions for public notice beyond which that there already is in law. We do make sure that the individuals who are the subject of the data breach themselves know that a report is being prepared, and they would have access to that report and could request it in various ways.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Dibble, yield for another question?
He will yield. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Dibble, so you said that those who were involved with the breach will be made aware of this and those who are investigating, but the public themselves are not going to have any knowledge of what has taken place. Am I correct in saying that?
Senator Dibble.
Madam President, there would be no specific provision for a public notice of the investigation and the preparation the final disposition of the report, but there would be it wouldn't be considered not public that this report has occurred. There's no, I don't think any. So to your point, Senator Anderson, there's no proactive requirement on the part of the governmental unit to provide public notice more widely of the report, other than to beyond the folks who are directly affected by the contents of the report.
Is there any more discussion? The Secretary will give House File 183 its third reading. Oh, I'm sorry. All in favor of adopting the report, say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. No further discussion. Senator Nienau. No. All right. Then the Secretary will give House File 183 its third reading.
House File Number 183, a bill for an act relating to data practices, enhancing certain penalties and procedures related to unauthorized access to data by a public employee.
Senator Dibble.
Madam President, I might have spoken a little too quickly in response to Senator Anderson's question. There are some provisions for substitute notice in those instances when mailing the report to all the individuals involved would represent a significant cost burden. If you look at the bottom of 3.34, where it does provide for posting of the notice on the website page of the government entity that maintains a website. It's a little bit of a step back from what we had brought into conference committee in Senate language, but it does provide for at least some larger notice, particularly in those instances when a lot of people are affected by the matter.
Any other discussion? Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Continuing under messages from the House, the secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on House File Number 2446 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File Number 2446, a bill for an act relating to public safety, granting the Board of Pharmacy cease and desist authority to prevent the sale of synthetic drugs. House File Number 2446 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Signed, Albin A. Matowitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Reinert.
Madam President, I would move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File Number 2446 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Can you explain the conference committee report, please?
Thank you, Madam President. Members will remember this bill. It wasn't long ago that we passed it off the floor, just last week, I think. There were really only two issues that we discussed in conference committee. The House had an appropriation of about $106,000. We did not. The House, in consultation with our leadership, including Senator Cohn, felt that that appropriation could be accounted for, and so we did accept that provision. Members, you'll remember we had a lengthy discussion on the floor, actually under Senator Sharon's policy bill, on the pharmacy board's authority to make some decisions while we're not in session. We had language in currently existing in statute that required them to come back and have those decisions ratified. Our bill did not, took that out so that those board decisions have weight while we're not in session. And the House accepted that provision. We in turn accepted a House provision which called for restitution on synthetic drug offenses. So property that's damaged, things of that nature, individuals who do that under the influence of synthetic drugs are responsible for those expenses. So those were really the only three substantial differences. Everything else were technical. So this passed in the House yesterday with no votes, so hopefully we can have a strong vote in the Senate as well. Thank you.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And would Senator Reinert yield for a question?
Please? He will yield. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator, would you, just a point of clarity, so we're still giving the authority, leaving the authority with the Board of Pharmacy to be able to act without legislative approval in between sessions on these drugs that seem to be changing faces every day. Is that correct?
Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Ingebrigtsen, yes. And that was language we had that the House did not. So we did prevail on that point.
Senator Newman.
Madam President, I just wanted to rise in reference to the change in the conference committee coming in from the House on the issue of restitution. And I would indicate to members that I do support that provision. I realize it wasn't necessarily supported in the Senate Judiciary Committee, but insofar as restitution is concerned following the commission of a crime, in general, I think it is a good idea, and I do support it. And I would urge members to support Senator Reinert's bill. Thank you, Madam President.
Is there any more discussion? On the motion to adopt the conference committee report, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Any more discussion? Secretary will give House File 2446 its third reading.
House File Number 2446, a bill for an act relating to public safety, granting the Board of Pharmacy cease and desist authority to prevent the sale of synthetic drugs.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted. Are there any members in the chamber that haven't voted? All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 55 ayes and 2 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Secretary will read the next message from the House.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on House File Number 1863 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File Number 1863, a bill for an act relating to state government, modifying laws governing certain executive branch advisory groups. House File Number 1863 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Stephen.
Madam President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and Conference Committee report on House File 1863 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee.
Senator Stephen, would you explain the Conference Committee report, please?
Sure. Members and Madam President, the Legislative Commission on Planning and Fiscal Policy made a recommendation to repeal 37 advisory groups. This bill coming out of conference repeals 32 of those groups. When comparing the House and Senate bills, there were some committees that the House chose to repeal and some that the Senate did, and that wasn't always exactly lined up. So we decided, the conference committee discussed not repealing the committees or the commissions if either body presented a valid reason for not doing so. So the conference committee report has, there were 5 commissions, as I stated earlier, that we chose not to repeal. That was different from the floor, that was different from the bill that passed the Senate floor. I'm happy to stand for questions on the particular commissions if members would like more information.
Any discussion on the motion to adopt the conference committee report? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Any more discussion on the bill? Seeing none, the secretary will give House File 1863 its third reading.
House File Number 1863, a bill for an act relating to state government, modifying laws governing certain executive branch advisory groups.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and 1 nay, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on House File Number 2214 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File Number 2214, a bill for an act relating to transportation, making technical changes to provisions affecting the Department of Transportation. House File Number 2214 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam President. I would move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File Number 2214 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Senator Reinert, would you explain the report?
Thank you, Madam President. Members, this is the MnDOT agency bill. Again, we just saw it, I think, end of last week. So hopefully it's not in the too distant past. Members, it's essentially our bill. There were three things that changed. One of those, and Senator Schmidt's not here right now, but was the diversion program. That was an amendment he offered on the floor. If you'll recall, it was several pages long, and we had a pretty good discussion about it. The House did not have that provision. We took actually a good deal of public testimony during the conference committee on that provision. And despite the Senate's position on letting the existing programs continue for a year to figure out some consistency in the conduct of the programs, House did not accept that, and one of our conferees agreed with the House, and so that provision was not included in the conference committee report. There was another provision that Senator Ingebretson brought regarding the sale of MnDOT, excess MnDOT property that was acquired through eminent domain, and we had a good discussion on that on the floor. I supported that amendment. If you'll recall, we came back and made a slight modification to it to allow MnDOT some flexibility. After the bill passed with that amendment, it was called to my attention that there's already existing in state statute language that applies to all state agencies, including MnDOT, which essentially, members, it was almost word for word, said the same thing that we had passed on the floor. So we did not include that in the bill, just for sake of not wanting to provide any inconsistency in that direction. I did have a chance to talk to both Senator Ingebretson and Senator Westrom about that. So it is in state law. It's just not going to be included in this bill. And then, members, the third item where we had some discussion was Senator Dames and Senator Dibble will remember it had to do with cyclists. And the original language caused some concern, especially on higher speed roads. And so Senator Dames had brought an amendment that brought that down to a 30-mile or under provision, which, as I recall, Senator Dibble was supportive of on the floor. We had a good deal of discussion about this in conference committee as well. And by the end of it, the consensus was that what was on the books for now was adequate and that this was probably something that should be revisited through the full committee vetting process. And as I recall, there were members on the floor who were concerned that it had not been through the full committee vetting process. So we chose to just leave that out completely. So there will be no new language regarding cyclists and biking on roadways. So, members, that's the bill, essentially our bill, with just one thing removed and a couple things left out. So would encourage your support. Thank you, Madam President.
Is there any discussion on the motion to adopt the conference committee report? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the author yield?
He will yield. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Reinert, I'm looking at the vote by which the conference committee was voted on over in the other body, and I'm just seeing that some of the members that had voted the same way are voting the same again, and I see that the members as it left the Senate also are in a negative situation. I'm wondering if you could explain a little bit of some of the things that were protested or objected to that would cause them to vote in the manner that they did, if you can do that.
Senator Reiner.
Thank you, Madam President. And I'm sorry, Senator Anderson, I don't know if I completely followed your question. If you were interested in how members on the conference committee voted, or I didn't follow the question. I'm sorry.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Reinert, I'm looking at the conference committee report as it was voted on in the other body, and there were a number of members that had voted in the negative. And I'm just wondering if the provisions that were in the conference committee report were such that because of how we voted here in the Senate, we're on a negative basis, would also be the same reason in the negative on the other body's provision, if that makes any sense. I'm trying to correlate the two reasons here between House and Senate.
Senator Reiner.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Anderson, I don't know. Honestly, I didn't have a chance to follow the House debate when this came back out of conference committee. But I did note that there were a handful, 10 or 12 no votes in the House on this. So we didn't have any real contentious discussions in the conference committee. I mean, the three things I mentioned, the bike riding, the diversion program, and the land sale were the three items that had any discussion at all or any public input.
On the motion to adopt the conference committee report, any more discussion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Any more discussion on the bill? Secretary will give House File 2214 its third reading.
House File Number 2214, a bill for an act relating to transportation, making technical changes to provisions affecting the Department of Transportation.
Secretary will take the roll.
I'm good. What you doing?
You're moving awfully fast.
Any members sitting on the floor that wish to vote? All members having voted, Secretary will close the roll. There being 55 ayes and 6 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Secretary will read the next message from the House.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on House File Number 2166 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File Number 2166, a bill for an act relating to elections, providing a study of the use of electronic rosters in elections. House File Number 2166 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
The noise level is getting very high. I please ask members to take your conversations off the floor, but not too far away. And staff members, please keep your voices down. Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File Number 2166 be now adopted and that the bill repass as amended by the conference committee.
Senator Bonoff, will you explain the report?
Yes, Madam President. The e-poll book legislation, as it left the floor, we had removed the study provision that was in the bill as originally introduced. We felt as though there had been enough study and it was time to allow in a permissive way our local jurisdictions to take advantage of this technology that it really will make our elections much more efficient and effective. And so the House bill still had that study, although they didn't have a fiscal note associated with it, so we were able to prevail in making sure that was not part of the bill. But then there was a provision, members, where the House thought differently than us, and we did not prevail. And so I would like to use my time to really share with members the concern that we in the Senate had and why, in fact, though, we still are asking for your affirmative vote today on the Senate floor. Throughout the committee process in the Senate, we had added an amendment that as we direct, we put forward a set of rules with regard to how the tabulations are done, comparing the votes with the ballot so that we make sure that there's integrity in our elections. And we added in the Senate a provision that said, when you do your count, you must use the signature certificate as the means of reconciling your ballots with how many people actually were there. We added, we deleted a provision that was in the bill that said, or voter receipts. The House had that provision. Now, why is it important not to have or voter receipts? And for this, I really want to acknowledge Senator Kiffmeyer, who will also be speaking about this. But Senator Kiffmeyer, having had the previous job of Secretary of State, felt very strongly, and her experience as election judge, that the practice of reconciling ballots against receipts is one that does not really have the utmost integrity, because these receipts are just blank pieces of paper and are frankly unsigned and just, you know, in many cases sitting in a box. And so we put in our bill that rather than going back and telling what should be done with regular voting, we said that with regard to going forward on the e-poll books, let's make it very clear. We want signed voter certificates. The local jurisdictions said they wanted consistency. If they could use the voter receipts in the other type of elections, they wanted to be able to use their voter receipts for the e-poll books. We didn't agree because we thought we had a new opportunity. It should also be noted that the use of voter receipts is not authorized by statute. This was something that was done by rule only. In the end, we weren't able to persuade the local jurisdictions, the Secretary of State, and most importantly, the House conferees that this was the right measure at this time. We accepted this anyway because if we do not pass an e-poll book conference committee report today, then local jurisdictions could, in fact, enact e-poll books in the next general election without having guidelines and a framework for how they should be used. So while we don't agree with everything in the bill we put before you, we do believe it's very important to provide the necessary restrictions and instructions as to how to use e-poll books consistent with what would uphold our election system's integrity. So I want to thank my conferees, Senator Rest and Senator Kiffmeyer. The three of us were united in our belief about the best possible way, but we also understood the importance of getting a bill passed, and so So I stand here before you today requesting your affirmative vote on this bill, and I would yield to Senator Kiffmeyer.
Members, it still is really, really noisy in here. It's very difficult for people to hear. Please keep your voices down. We have one or two or three more days to go only. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, Senator Bonhoff and Senator Rass, it is also good to work with you as well on the conference committee, and I would agree that the benefits of this conference committee report, the technical arrangements and standards that are established in this bill are worth a vote yes by the Senate floor here today. And so I appreciate that. On the other hand, Madam President, it is still my very real concern that this non-statutorily accepted language, it is not in statute, only in rule, allows simple pieces of paper to be used as a substitute for an actual voter signature certificate. And so this is definitely an issue. However, it is language that says either the signed voter certificate or a voter receipt. It is my hope that after this thorough discussion that our local election officials and our counties and our cities will understand the importance of making sure that the work that they do in the polling places on election day have the strongest degree of integrity, and the simplicity of counting the signed voter certificates are just as easy to count as loose pieces of paper, even more so. Nonetheless, I think the value of this language is substantially an improvement to not having any language at all. And also, Madam President, in the conversations with the local election officials, it is our commitment to each other, including Senator Bonhoeff, that next year this issue of reconciliation, which is the actual number of voters and the actual number of ballots, would equal each other. How more obvious can something be? But the process of that, in allowing them some flexibility this year, but also with the more defined standards which are in this bill, we will continue to work together and come back to this body next year with a more full recommendation on implementation of the reconciliation. With that, Madam President, I will encourage a yes vote.
Senator Bana.
Thank you, Madam President. I do just finally want to thank the members of the e-poll book task force who have worked over the past year. I want to thank all the local election officials, the judges who may be following this. While we were debating this in conference, the election, the local jurisdiction folks who have responsibility for elections were meeting at a conference, and we were able to have conversations real time going back and forth over these issues. So I know that they do have a commitment to integrity. I know they do value this very much, and so we say this in good faith and in hopes that we might be able to resolve this in the coming session in a way that both can feel accomplished what we're trying to do. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion on the motion to adopt the conference committee report? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Any more discussion? The Secretary will give House File 2166 its third reading.
House File Number 2166, a bill for an act relating to elections, providing a study of the use of electronic rosters in elections.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, Secretary will close the roll. There being 53 ayes and 3 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Secretary will read the next message from the House.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on House File Number 2733 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File Number 2733, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, modifying all-terrain vehicle and off-highway motorcycle provisions. House File Number 2733 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Marty.
Madam President, I move the foregoing recommendations in Conference Committee Report on House File 2733 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee.
Senator Marty, would you explain the Conference Committee report?
Members, this is the DNR policy bill. It was fairly similar between the House and Senate. I want to thank Senator Herr and Senator Weber. It was good Conference Committee. Went actually fairly quickly. I think we did accept the House provision. It was the Senator Dietzick bill on drainage inspectors with an amendment from Senator Weber in conference that delayed the effective date on it. That was House language, but Senator Weber put an amendment to delay it. And then we accepted a provision on tampering with off-road vehicle odometers, which was a Sieben bill that I think the Senate passed last year. And beyond that, I'm happy to stand for questions. There were a number of issues discussed. I don't think there were any hot controversies on it.
Is there any discussion? On the motion to adopt the Conference Committee report, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Is there any more discussion? The Secretary will give House File 2733 its third reading.
House File Number 2733, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, modifying all-terrain vehicle and off-highway motorcycle provisions.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, reminder once again to all members sitting at their desks in the chamber, if you want to vote, all members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 56 ayes and 2 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Are reverting to introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The Secretary will read the introduction.
Senators Sparks, Reinert, Schmidt, Scalzi, and Ingebrigtsen introduced Senate File Number 2988, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, modifying authority of soil and water conservation districts.
Senate File 2988 will be referred to the Committee on Environment and Energy and given its first reading. Senator Bach, there's no business at the desk.
Madam President?
Senator Nienau.
Madam President, having voting on the prevailing side, I move that the vote whereby Senate Resolution 265 was adopted be reconsidered.
On the motion, Senator Nienau. Senator Peterson.
Madam President, members, I would rise in support of this motion to bring back Senate Resolution 265. As our discussion on that issue ended, we seem to be having a discussion about whether candidates should be banned from this issue, and I did send out a handout to your desk that demonstrated that the argument that those press credentials shouldn't be issued to candidates. Certainly in Sean Towle, the issue that we're discussing in regards to that issue was a candidate back in 99. Members, the reason you ought to support this resolution is clearly documented in a story from MinnPost when Dan Oxner, one of my constituents and a member of the press that has served the residents and the constituents of Senate District 14 really for decades. As I started to tell you, he served as a president of the Minnesota Associated Press Broadcasters, as a member of the press, one of the largest media organizations in central Minnesota from Layton Broadcasting, was denied those press credentials. And members, it still appears that most of the members of the majority do not have the ability to look at the amendment that was offered in regards to this issue, so I thought I should read it to you. It simply says, any credentials issued under Senate Rule 16 to an individual who has received funds from a political organization as defined by Senate Rule 16.1, they simply should be suspended. Members, all this is asking is that if we have a member of the press that's going to sit down in this corner here and be charged with reporting the activities that go on in this chamber, that they simply not be paid by the Republicans or the Democrats. That's all this amendment does, members. And I hope that we would be able to understand that things change in this building. When you walk around this building and you see portraits of governors that you've never even heard of before, members, this is something we ought to be doing. This is a reasonable request as we ask people to come onto this floor and try and objectively report the activities that are going on in this building. It's not unreasonable to ask that they not be paid by either party through this process. Members, I would ask that you support this resolution and bring this back for this amendment.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I impose a call to the Senate.
Senate is under call. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant shall bring in the absent members. So we have before us the motion to reconsider the vote whereby Senate Resolution 265 was adopted by the Senate. Senator Bach. Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam President. As a maker of the motion, I just wanted to make some comments in support. As you heard from Senator Peterson, clearly, contrary to what the Senate rules discussion was yesterday, clearly there has been a process that has been followed to remove credentials from a credentialed reporter. And clearly, the same kind of concerns that apparently existed in that event that happened previously are the same kind of concerns, and then some, that exist with the current credentials that are under question. Previously, there was a partisan candidate that it seems to be, at least from what I understand, as a result of that partisan candidacy, those credentials were removed. And now we have an individual that was a partisan candidate, and on top of that, received partisan compensation. And the question then gets begged, should those credentials be removed? And I think, given precedent, custom and usage, that we should be consistent, and that should take place. And by reconsidering this resolution, we can then offer up and reconsider amendments that would do that as well.
Senator Bach.
Well, Madam President, I'm going to vote against reconsideration, and that's a pretty unusual vote. But I do think that amending the Senate rules is serious business, and proposals to amend the Senate rules need to be considered by the Rules Committee, where we can consult with the advice of counsel, so we don't get something in our rules that opens the Senate up to some potential financial liability. And if that's the intent, is to get it opened up so we can put something in that potentially puts the Senate into some litigation, then I'm opposed.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President. As Senator Bach said, it would be highly unusual for us to deny a member who voted on the prevailing side from being allowed to reconsider. We've done that as a courtesy to Republicans and Democrats. We've done it throughout the 12 years that I've served here. We've done it as a courtesy to the members who asked to be reconsidered in their vote. And so I think as a matter of courtesy and history here in the body that we accord that same courtesy to Senator Nenow today.
Senator Nenow.
Madam President, contrary to what was implied by Senator Bach, the Senate Rules Committee does not make the rules for this body. We make the rules. We adopt the rules. We amend them. We change them. We adopt them. The Senate Rules Committee has a lot of power. They do not make the rules. The amendment that Senator Hand proposed, in my opinion, doesn't even affect Senate rules. The testimony, the discussion in the Senate Rules Committee yesterday said there is nothing in the Senate rules about eliminating credentials. So if there's nothing in the rules about eliminating credentials, how are we changing the rules? And if this body makes the rules, why doesn't this body discuss the rules? And as far as litigation, stop and think about this. This is the Minnesota Senate. We control this floor right here. This is our domain. We're not talking about an employee. Well, heck, we could even be talking about an employee. We could have a duly elected senator, and the Senate could reject them and refuse to seat them because the Senate rules the Senate. We are one of three legs of government. The Constitution set us up that way. Realize that, Madam President. I hope the members realize that. We are a fully independent one-third of the entire government of the state of Minnesota, and we control ourselves collectively. That is what we do. That is why we meet. Nobody can sue us over how we decide to rule ourselves.
Madam President,
nobody can sue us because we decide that you can't use the chamber for commercial purposes.
Madam President, point of order.
State your point of order, Senator Latz.
What order of business are we on? What's the motion before the body?
The motion before the body is by Senator Nenow that the vote whereby Senate Resolution 265 was adopted by the Senate on May 15th be now reconsidered.
Perhaps we could focus our conversation on that narrow question, Madam President.
Senator Latz, Senator Nenow, I think that's a point well taken. We should try to focus more on the reconsideration motion.
Madam President, my arguments are all about why we should reconsider. And quite frankly, we're in response to Senator Bok's comments. If I'm out of order, he was out of order. The Minnesota Senate controls the Minnesota Senate. If the argument for not reconsidering is because we might get sued, that's a bad argument, because we control ourselves. We understand that. That's why we have rules. That's why we have rules that control the Senate. That's why we have rules that control access to the chamber. That's why we have rules that control use of the chamber. Madam President, clearly, obviously, as the maker of the motion, I would urge the members to vote yes for reconsideration so that we can talk about and reconsider whether or not the amendment that previously was not adopted should be reconsidered as well.
On the motion to reconsider, Senator Newman.
Madam President, will Senator Bok yield?
Senator Bok, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Newman. N-word. Senator Newman.
Madam President, Senator Bok, yesterday when we were in the Rules Committee, it was the position of the Rules Committee and Senate Counsel that the Rules Committee didn't have the jurisdiction to address the subject issue. Today, when we came to the Senate floor, and what we were told is that the Senate as a body does have the jurisdiction to undertake the issue that we are now in the process of trying to reconsider. And now it appears that Senator Bok, you are resisting this because I think earlier you wanted it to go back to the rules. And very honestly, my frustration is, and my frustration lies in, I don't know where now to bring this issue up. If we can't bring it up in the rules, we can't bring it up in the floor of the Senate. Senator Bok, how do we address this issue? Because it certainly seems to me that it is something that is a fair point of discussion. And it feels very honestly like there is an attempt to avoid that discussion. So where do we go with this, Senator Bok, if we can't do it in rules and we can't do it on the Senate floor?
Senator Bok.
Well, Madam President, the process would be the same as the resolutions that were considered yesterday in the Rules Committee. Senator Hahn and I introduced a resolution to the Senate. The front desk then referred it to the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee took it up and acted on it. So if somebody wanted to have the Rules Committee consider a provision like that, it should be introduced in the form of a resolution to the Senate. It then would be referred to the Rules Committee for them for their discussion.
Senator Newman.
Madam President, will Senator Bok yield one more time, please?
He will yield. Senator Newman.
Madam President, Senator Bok, if Senator Hahn then brings forward a resolution that you have just suggested, would you be willing then to call a Rules Committee to allow us to bring that resolution forward?
Senator Bok.
Well, Madam President, Senator Newman, we are past the point of introduction of bills for today, so certainly one could be drafted and turned into the front desk, and once the Senate had an opportunity to act on that and refer it to the Rules Committee, it then would be in the possession of the Rules Committee. just a matter of, I don't know how many days are left in this legislative session that we would have time to do that. But if one was introduced and referred to the Rules Committee, the intent would be, I mean, certainly before the next session convenes, we're going to work on new rules. And I do think there is an oversight in the rules about how we uncredential somebody who previously was credentialed. So I think it's something that should be considered prior to the next session, with or without a resolution, I guess.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. And I think, Senator Bach, that you had mentioned that the Rules Committee will be meeting sometime in June. I don't remember what the specific date was. Perhaps Senator Hand could consider putting the resolution together that we have been discussing, assuming that this motion to reconsider fails. If that is the case, then I would simply ask Senator Bach that if a resolution does come forward in the interim, that we put it on the Rules Committee at the next available agenda. Thank you, Madam President.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President. I want to remind members the motion that we're talking about now is not whether or not the rules should be amended or not, or whether the resolution should be amended, but whether or not we should accord a courtesy to the senator who's asked that a vote be reconsidered because he voted on the prevailing side. I think that's a very important precedent for our Senate. In fact, we just granted that courtesy to Senator Carlson yesterday, because he voted on the prevailing side on a bill and asked to be reconsidered. And so we did that as a courtesy. And so now I'm talking about the history of the Minnesota Senate. Whether you're going to vote for or against amending the resolution, the right vote right now is to vote yes and give any member the courtesy that they are due to move to reconsider an issue where they voted. And I hope members will stick to that courtesy regardless of their party.
Is there any more discussion on the motion to reconsider? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
The motion prevailed. So the vote is to be reconsidered. A division has been asked. All those in favor of the motion. Division has been requested. All those in favor, please stand. All those in favor of the motion to reconsider. You may be seated. All those opposed, please stand. The motion does not prevail. 20, on a vote of 26 to 33, the motion does not prevail. 26 to 34. We have more messages from the House. The Secretary will report the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on House File Number 2852 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File Number 2852, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, modifying game and fish laws. House File Number 2852 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Schmidt.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to move that the foregoing recommendations and Conference Committee report on House File 2852 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee.
Senator Schmidt, would you explain the Conference Committee report?
Thank you, Madam President. Members, this Conference Committee report is nearly identical to the bill that left the floor here just last week. It contains various DNR proposals dealing with game, fish, and natural resources management needs. The bill attempts to address the declining trend in participation in outdoor recreation, enhance fishing and hunting opportunities, and repeal obsolete and redundant statutes. We included several provisions from members of both caucuses, and I'm proud to say this is a sound bill, and I would encourage your support.
Is there any discussion on the motion to adopt the Conference Committee report on House File 2852? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion prevails. Any further discussion? The Secretary will give House File 2852 its third reading.
House File Number 2852, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, modifying game and fish laws.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move a brief recess for the purpose of Conference Committee report.
On the motion to recess, all those in favor say aye. Opposed nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess. Senate will come to order. Senator Bach.
Madam President, is there a privilege report at the desk?
Secretary will read the report.
Senator Bach from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senator is, and she hereby is, appointed as a conference committee on Senate File Number 693. Senator Rosen replaces Senator Westrom. Senator Bach moves that the foregoing appointments be approved.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed nay. Motion prevails. Are there any announcements? How about the excuses? Mike?
Madam President.
All right. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move a recess to the call of the chair. We are going to have to wait for the House to send us some work.
Senator Hahn.
Madam President, I'd like to ask for the Republicans to meet in room 107 immediately upon recess. After, so if we could do that.
Are there any other announcements before we recess? On the motion to recess, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate stands in recess. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant will bring in the absent members. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Stump.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that House File 2556 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance.
This is your bill?
Given a second reading and placed on general orders. Yes, Madam Chair and members, I'm the chief author of that bill.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. House File 2556 is given its second reading. Messages from the House. The Secretary will report the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on House File number 2402 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File number 2402, a bill for an act relating to state government, making changes to health and human services policy provisions. House File number 2402 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 2402 now be adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Senator Sharon, you want to explain to us the conference committee report?
Thank you, Madam President. Yes, this is a sizable report. Much of the outcome of the conference committee was an agreement between both houses to the language that was either very similar or close. We adopted all of those things with ease. There were a number of provisions in our bill that were not in the House bill, and provisions that were in the House bill that were not in ours. And through the course of our conversations, we agreed to accept most of those provisions from each other. So a great deal of cooperation occurred around those. Those were such agreements from the House that you would not be familiar with, which allowed county agencies to request of a contractor that serves multiple family child care providers to maintain a record of the contractor's background study, and then allows those contractors who serve multiple family child care license providers to have background studies only transferable to all the family programs in the county if they maintain a copy of that study. An important provision that we accepted from the House, which was also a bill that was introduced by Senator Eaton in our body, was a TANF expenditures task force. I think that the body will be very appreciative of our accepting this language because it establishes a task force to analyze past TANF expenditures and makes recommendations as to which, if any, of the programs currently receiving TANF fundings should be funded by the general fund, so that a greater portion of TANF funds can go directly to the families who are appropriately supported by this program. Article 2 of our bill related to the prescription monitoring program. This is a bill that was authored in our body by Senator Rosen. We had a great deal of difficulty coming to an agreement about this language in the prescription monitoring program. It was a long fight through the night to try to articulate how to approach prescription monitoring. The differences between the bodies seemed to focus specifically around how long data could be held by through the Board of Pharmacy to be utilized to track trends and to be able to provide resources to prescribers should they note that the trends of utilization by those who are filling their prescriptions suggests that the physician should know that there may be a problem in their use of opioids or other pain medications. The only changes in the chemical and mental health article were related to expiration dates for the American Indian Advisory Council. Article 4 was related to the health licensing boards, if you remember. This is the major portion of this article related to the Board of Nursing. There were differences in the language between the Senate and the House related to the Board of Nursing. We accepted a couple of the segments from the Senate and accepted language related to the temporary suspension of a nurse's license that was in the House bill. And what is specifically different about that is that we would require, it would be a must rather than a may suspend a license, but the board must meet probable cause and do an investigation to determine if there is imminent risk of harm. The Board of Pharmacy, Article 5, was also amended our Senate language to come into terms with how the House perceived the role of the Board of Pharmacy. In particular, we took a look at how the Board of Pharmacy would treat data and whether or not information could be shared without the consent of an individual.
Members, we've had this problem all day today. Please take your conversations into the hallway. Other members cannot hear the senator who's presenting her conference committee report. So please give her that courtesy. Thank you. Senator Sharon, please continue.
Thank you. So I'll go on then with Article 6, which is the Health Department and Public Health. In this section, we adopted language that directed the commissioner to develop recommendations on the way to minimize triclosan health risks. This language came specifically from the House as a floor amendment, and we adopted it in the conference committee report. In addition, we made modifications to our language as it relates to minority health care professional associations requiring the commissioner of health to award grants to minority-run health care professionals as one of the criteria when they distribute those grants. We also accepted House language that exempts certain criteria from continuing education requirements related to dementia for managers. And under e-cigarettes, we made significant changes to the bill as you saw it when it left the Senate floor. The committee adopted an amendment that prohibited the use of cigarettes in healthcare facilities and clinics, buildings owned or operated by state or local government entities, facilities owned by MNSCU and the University of Minnesota, facilities licensed by the Department of Human Services and the Department of Health, only if the facility is also subject to federal licensing requirements, licensed daycare centers, or in licensed family daycare provider homes during the hours of those homes' operations. We also adopted language that came from the House regarding the packaging of liquids in an electronic delivery device. This related to child protection and was an outcome of recent findings on nicotine poisoning for children. We also, in relationship to e-cigarettes, adopted House language that prohibited the sale of cigarettes in kiosks. Under Article 7, the local public health article, there was one amendment that clarified that a county or city that has established a delegation agreement may enter into an agreement with the Commissioner of Health to delegate licensing, inspection, reporting, enforcement duties. Under Article 8, which related to autism, we accepted the House's language regarding home and community-based services standards. This was a bill that was presented in the Senate by Senator Clausen. The language removes certain intensive support service requirements, and it deems the license holder's submission of assessment and coordinated services and support plan addendum to be approved and effective under certain circumstances. We also accepted House language in relationship to autism, a bill also offered in the Senate by Senator Eaton, but it was not able to move through our process, that requires implementation of an autism spectrum disorder statewide strategic plan. In Article 9, under health care, we accepted a House language related to statewide procurement. This language allows the Commissioner of Human Services for the calendar year of 2015 to extend demonstration provider contracts for a sixth year after the most recent procurement. The Commissioner spoke to the Conference Committee about this provision, and the procurement language is something that the Department of Human Services can already do and is planning to do. This is in the interest of transparency. We accepted also House language that requires the Commissioner of Human Services to incorporate strategies and activities to address chronic medical or behavioral health conditions that are complicated by socioeconomic factors in the department's planning of its design of a Medicaid plan. Under Article 10, we accepted some House language which requires the Commissioner of Human Services to consult with stakeholders to determine whether the Minnesota Medical Assistance Program operates in accordance with a ruling, Justin versus Anderson, and it instructs the Commissioner to provide a written report and proposed legislation to comply with that finding. Article 11, which is Children and Family Services Policy, we accepted House language regarding base funding amounts and savings for community action agency mergers. And that concludes a summary of the components of the bill that might be less familiar to you than the language that was approved by this bill, much of which was also accepted because it wasn't included in the House language. And I would be remiss if I didn't say a great deal of thanks to our staff. Katie Cavanaugh and Joan White were just absolutely stellar in helping us approve the language, understand the language, write the language. Amy Gresky has been helpful throughout the time, helping us understand what the meaning and the essence of the bills are so that we could retain all of our understandings of over 200 pages of legislation. Sarah Page, my legislative assistant, has been absolutely fabulous in managing all of the demands on our office, as well as Chelsea McAdams, who is my committee administrator, has been steadfast in all of my compulsivity and demandingness in providing information so that I'm able to keep this bill together and moving forward. And I don't know for certain, Senator Wieger, but she may be wishing that she had not made the transition from your office to mine. So with that, I hope I didn't leave anybody out in terms of my thank yous. Please forgive me if I did. And with that, we'll stand for questions or comments from others from the conference committee should they choose to.
Is there any discussion on the motion to adopt the conference committee report? Senator Nienau.
Madam President, when this bill came before us, I offered an amendment that was determined not germane to name the legislation as the Minnesota, the state where nothing is allowed act. And as it's come back from conference, I would suggest that maybe it's the Minnesota where many things are not allowed act. So it is indeed an improvement.
I don't think I made that ruling. Is there any discussion? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. I was very honored to be asked to be on this conference committee, and it was probably one of the most difficult conference committees that I've been on in my 12 years. That house is really something. So I would like to thank Senator Sharon. I think she did a very, very good job conferring this bill, where the House came in with many different provisions that were not even in the same orbit. And Senator Hayden, Senator Sharon, Senator Wicklund, and myself, I thought we had a very good team, and I appreciate your work on that. I am, though, I have to admit I am very disappointed in few of the provisions that we had to settle on, and one of them is the Clean Air Act. I believe that that is probably one of the best prevention measures that we could adopt, because there are so many unknown factors about e-cigarettes. There is very little information about the harm that we could be allowing the general public to endure. So with that, I'm very disappointed. I feel like we have let our children down, because we are allowing e-cigarettes in public places, bars and restaurants, and we're sending a very mixed signal, which I'm very troubled with, because we work very hard on teaching our children not to smoke and to have good, clean habits. And this is a big disappointment. Another disappointment for me, frankly, Madam Chair and members, was the prescription monitoring program. We have a serious opioid drug abuse, prescription drug abuse problem in our state, and that is one of the biggest factors we could do, is to have a strong PMP in the state, and we ended up having a very mediocre PMP. And with that, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer on this bill. Just because of those two provisions, there is a lot of good in this bill also. But members, I do hope you'll consider voting for this bill. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Hayden.
Well, thank you, Madam President, and I'll be brief. I just wanted to also extend my gratitude to Senator Sharon for not only really being thoughtful and clear and open in terms of how she was able to negotiate with the House, and also how she was a team player, allowing us to understand what the bill had and that the dilemmas that she would go through as she was negotiating. I just want to make sure that the body knows how thoughtful Senator Sharon was and how hard of a negotiator she was, to the extent that she was up, as we all are when we do this work, until the wee hours of the morning, fighting a pretty formidable foe in Representative Liebling on this bill. I also want to make sure that we acknowledge Senator Wicklund and Senator Rosen, and Senator Lori, of course, in terms of our ability to really come up with creative solutions. I would also say that I was, though disappointed that we weren't able to take the e-cigarettes totally to the Freedom to Breathe Act, I think it does send a mixed message to our children. I think that when we started to look at the packaging and the marketing, though we've done some work there, I think that we should have really decided, until someone could affirmatively tell us that it has no detrimental results to anyone, I think that this idea that we are kind of creating and mimicking smoking really sends a mixed message and the wrong message to our children. It takes us back a long ways in terms of us stopping young people from smoking. I also will reiterate the words of Senator Rosen around the prescription monitoring program. Without going into great details, we do have an epidemic in drug use, especially around opioids and those things. And we saw that in the great work that Senator Eaton did around her Narcan bill, that we really need to be able to send out the help that we need to folks, be able to have that conversation with them so that they don't become addicted and then end up overdosing as we've seen plenty of times and has been shared on this floor. But, you know, with that being said, I think that we did a good job and that we can continue to do better. But I wanted to express my sincere thanks to Senator Sharon and the group for allowing me to work with them on this bill. And I think that we are moving Minnesota forward in this regard. Thank you so much, Madam President.
Senator Rood.
Madam Chair, would Senator Sharon yield?
She will yield. Senator Rudin.
Senator Sharon, in light of the comments made by Senator Rosen and Senator Hayden, would you just maybe go over exactly where we ended up on the e-cigarettes? I'd be curious to know exactly what the bill now says in light of those comments.
Senator Sharon.
Thank you. Yes, I would be happy to do that. I'm just going to struggle here for a minute to find my notes on this. I'm first of all, I wanted to thank everybody, and who I forgot to thank were the members of the conference committee. Can you believe that? My apologies to you for that. They were fabulous. And each took responsibility for segments of the bill and negotiating them as we worked through the process. So this really is a team outcome. But on the e-cigarettes, we had, of course, a commitment to hold the Senate's position once it leaves the floor. I know that the changes in this bill as it stands now may be more satisfactory to some of the members of this body, but the e-cigarette components of the bill as it left the floor had in it an article that prohibited the use of vaping machines or electronics machines in all indoor places where the public enjoys time together. And also had a second segment to the bill that related to youth where this product could be sold and its prohibition and penalties for sale or use by youth and the prohibition of using it in K-12 institutions. The House had in their language those similar youth pieces of the legislation. They'd added the kiosk issue and child packaging elements and amendments. But their prohibition was only for buildings that were under the Department of Administration at the state level. So those were the two juxtapositions that we were moving from. Our conference committee, in our conversations about this, decided that they wanted to move the first article, what I refer to as the first article, which relates to clean indoor air in all public places. And that amendment was offered by Senator Wicklund to be included in the conference committee report and supported to a person on the Senate side, but absolutely we could not get a majority of the votes on the House side. So we wanted to do that to clearly indicate that it is the House that is prohibiting the movement toward the Clean Indoor Air Act. We then moved to an alternative position which would have offered the House the privilege of allowing vapers to vape in all public places, excepting when persons under the age of 18 are present in those establishments. And our thinking about that was that if the rationale in the House was that they believed that protection should be in place for youth, then we ought to make that protection in place for youth in more than just their schools. But the House refused to accept that amendment as well. And when we asked for an explanation to help us understand what are the issues that the House has with this provision, we were not able to get a clear understanding other than they did not believe they could get enough votes in the House to pass the bond, this entire package with that provision in it. The limitation that created for us as negotiators is that if we could understand the underlying principles that people were trying to apply, we might have been able to articulate the language in a way that would have resolved those issues, but we couldn't get there. So eventually, the House offered some language that we modified that is in front of you now, and what it does is prohibit vaping. It keeps all of the elements in place that were in the second article of our bill related to youth, schools, penalties for youth to use or sale to youth. We added the kiosk and the child packaging amendments. That's in the bill. But as it relates to clean indoor air in bars and restaurants, for example, we limited it in all government buildings, so state, local, township, any government at any level building. We limit it to all facilities licensed by the Department of Human Services or the Department of Health, but there's a limitation on that because the Department of Health also licenses bars and restaurants. Allows for that those locations, even though they are licensed, to have vaping by adults, persons over the age of 18. And I think that's, in essence, what the bill does. It takes it away from all government buildings, universities. I should have it right here in front of me. And any building owned or operated by state, home rule charter, or statutory city, township, school district, or other political subdivisions. Facilities owned by the Minnesota State Colleges, Universities, and the University of Minnesota. Any facility licensed by the Commissioner of Human Services or the Commissioner of Health, but only if the facility is also subject to federal licensing or, so that's that provision, only if the facility is also subject to federal licensing requirements is what opens the opportunity for bars and restaurants to continue to be able to have vaping in them should they choose that. Nothing in this subdivision prohibits political subdivisions from adopting more stringent prohibitions on the use of electronic cigarettes or electric delivery services. And so what that means is that your communities, your counties, your townships can implement restrictions on the use of e-cigarette devices in bars and restaurants should they choose, as many cities have already. And I think that hits on everything that's in that provision.
Senator Rood.
Madam Chair and Senator Sharon, thank you very much for that explanation. That clears up a lot of questions that I had. Thank you.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. And just one caveat to the reply from Senator Sharon is the child-proof packaging. And members, this is really important because it became apparent during negotiations when somebody from outside the doors came to us with a little bottle full of pure nicotine that they got at one of the synthetic drug shops around. And that little bottle of liquid nicotine that you put into the e-cigarettes can kill a child. And there was no childproof top on that, no labeling, nothing. It looked like a little baby bottle. So we have a lot of work to do with the e-cigarettes and just making sure that that product is safe. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? On the motion to adopt the conference committee report, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Any more discussion on the bill? Secretary will give House File 2402 its third reading.
House File Number 2402, a bill for an act relating to state government, making changes to health and human services policy provisions.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 52 ayes and 13 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, introduction and first reading of Senate bills, the secretary will read the introduction.
Senators Nelson, Rosen, Weber, Miller, and Peterson J. introduce Senate File Number 2989, a resolution memorializing the Congress of the United States to direct the United States Food and Drug Administration to conduct trials for medical marijuana research.
Senate File 2989 will be referred to the Committee on Health, Human Services, and Housing and given its first reading. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate House File 155, a special order, to be taken up for immediate consideration.
Senator Bach, who's the author of that bill? Chamberlain.
Senator Chamberlain.
Okay. Special order, Senate file, House file. House File 155, Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam President and members. And House File 155 is just, it's a simple bill. It allows a fee increase for notaries.
Just a minute, Senator Chamberlain. Senator Chamberlain is presenting his bill. Please give him some courtesy. He's my friend.
Thank you, Madam President. So House File 155 is an ordinary bill. As you see, it's been up here for 2 years. I appreciate the opportunity to bring this up and offer it. The fees for notaries have not been increased for over 30 years, and what this bill does is it simply allows the notaries to increase their fees from a maximum of $1. They can charge up to $5. The handouts you're getting, members, Madam President, will show that surrounding states have a much different fee structure. The $5 will allow Minnesota to catch up. The other handout will show you that notaries who perform their duties at franchises such as UPS and other places, they have a fee they have to pay to the county and to the state. So some modest increase allowing them to charge $5 for their service, no more than $5. They can charge $1, they can charge $2 or $3 or $4, and nothing more than $5. And it's been 30 years. So I hope you can support the bill. I would thank my co-authors, Senator Champion and Senator Franson, for their help and support. Thank you, members. Hope you can support it. Green vote. Thank you.
Is there any discussion on House File 155? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, well, here we go again with another Chamberlain tax increase. Oftentimes we see these handouts with fees and taxes, and we're the highest one. In this one, we happen to be the lowest, and Senator Chamberlain is proposing we change that here today. I would encourage a red vote, members.
Senator Nino.
Madam President, parliamentary inquiry.
I'm sorry, Senator, what did you say?
Parliamentary inquiry.
State your inquiry.
Madam President, as a member of the Senate and as a statutory notary public, is it necessary that I excuse myself from this vote?
I think we'd all have to excuse ourselves. Senator Nelson.
Madam President, that was my question, so I'm waiting for the answer.
Senator Hall has the answer. Any more discussion on the Chamberlain bill? Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the author yield?
He will yield. Senator Miller.
Senator Chamberlain, what is the percentage of increase on this fee?
Senator Chamberlain.
The maximum percentage increase, Senator Miller, is 500%, as you pointed out earlier. But the minimum increase would be zero if they so choose. Thank you. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would Senator Limmer take a question?
Senator Limmer will not. Is there any more discussion? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, this is a slippery slope.
We start with notary publics, and next it'll be taxing the air that we breathe. In the words of Winston Churchill, who had issues with someone by the name of Chamberlain, he said, never, never, never give in to a Chamberlain.
There being no further discussion, the Secretary will give House File 1. Senator Bach.
Madam President, just a little bit of history on fees. There was a period of time where former Representative Krinke chaired the House Tax Committee, and that conference committee that year on taxes actually put a provision in law that was the Krinke provision, and we put into statute a fee is a tax.
The Secretary will give House File 155 its third reading.
House File number 155, a bill for an act relating to notaries public, increasing maximum fees permitted to be charged by notaries public.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 46 ayes and 15 nays, the bill is that 45? I can't see. That being 45 ayes and 16 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Do we have any more business? Senator Bach.
Madam President, members, our hope is that the House is going to send us some additional work for tonight. But right now, I think the plan would be, and I've discussed with Senator Hand, maybe we could recess and caucus both the bonding bill and the tax bill, which we expect sometime later tonight the House will be sending over. So, Madam President, I'd like to move a recess of the Senate to the call of the chair. We'll kind of watch your email. We just have to wait for the House to catch up with us, and the Majority Caucus will caucus in 107 immediately.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President. We are looking to see if there is a room available for us to caucus in. 112? 112 is available, so we'll caucus in 112. Thank you.
On the motion to recess, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate is in recess. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the Senate do not adjourn until Friday, May 6th.
Senator Bach, we have just a couple little business things to do.
Okay.
Bill introductions that have to be done. It'll just take us a minute. The Secretary will read the introduction.
Senator Limmer introduces, Senator Limmer introduces Senate File number 2990, a bill for an act relating to data practices, limiting assertion of copyright interests in government data.
The Senate File 2990 will be referred to the Committee on Judiciary and given its first reading.
Senator Marty introduces Senate File number 2991, a bill for an act relating to local government, specifying requirements for ordinances establishing responsibility for maintenance of water service pipes.
Senate File 2991 will be referred to the Committee on State and Local Government, given its first reading.
Senators Bonhoff and Kent introduce Senate File number 2992, a bill for an act relating to education, requiring annual review of charter school authorizers.
Senate File 2992 will be referred to the Committee on Education and given its first reading.
Okay. Oh, wait. Does he have excuses?
Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Resch, Schmidt, Senjum, Stump, and Torres Ray from 10 to 11:15. Senator Franzen and Peterson B from 10:45 to 11:15. Senator Westrum from 10 to 2:10 p.m. Senator Ortman from 12:30 to 12:45 and 2 to 2:05. Senator Brown from 12:30 to 12:50. Senator Osmick from 12:30 to 1:10. Senator Skoy from 12:30 to 1:30. Senator Bach from 12:40 to 1:05. Senator Schmidt from 12:45 to 1:45. Senator Dibble from 1:25 to 1:50. Senator Ingebrigtsen and Rosen from 1:30 to 1:45. Senator Stephen from 1:30 to 1:55. Senator Schmidt from 8:40 to 8:50 p.m. Is there any other business? Then, are there any announcements? Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the Senate do now adjourn until Friday, May 16, 9 a.m.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.